Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Late last year, I saw this tweet from actor, comedian, writer, and former Beta guest Bob Odenkirk saying, quote, "This is the best written book I read this year. I just finished reading it and it was massively fun," unquote. The book that Bob praised was Guilty of Everything, 21st Anniversary Edition. It was written by my fellow Vancouverite, John Armstrong. John was the founding member of one of my favorite punk rock bands, the Modernettes. It got me thinking, how did Bob discover John's book before I did? So I asked Bob about John's memoir, and the next thing I knew, Bob sent us a video message to share with John. Bob said that he was knocked out by John's book and that he hoped to meet John one day. John seemed thrilled that his memoir got the Bob Odenkirk bump. He joined us to talk about the enduring legacy of the Modernettes and the life-changing friendship he had with fellow punk rocker Art Bergman.
He lived down the street from my high school, and through somebody's older brother, me and a couple of my music junkie pals met him, and I ended up spending more time at his place than I did in school. When he moved from there to White Rock on the beach, you know, I just schneeved my way in. The next thing he knew, I had one of the bedrooms. It's a three-bedroom apartment on the beach for like $200 a month. And then I just kind of badgered him. I will say he was a willing teacher and he tried very hard, but he was a stern taskmaster. The first thing he taught me was you have to write songs. On any block in any town in North America, you could probably throw a beer bottle and hit a really good guitar player. You know, there are guys who can go beedly, 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 beedly. But if you write songs, you're ahead of the game. That's the important thing. He used to say, well, name someone you think is really great who doesn't write any songs. It's pretty hard to think of anybody great who doesn't write. But, you know, you have dreams of signing to a label. The first thing they want to know is, okay, who writes the songs? And they want to hear the songs. But we looked at all the people that we loved, you know, and it was mostly the British Invasion guys. It was the Who and the Kinks. And for me, the Stones, you know, massively. Velvet Underground, New York Dolls, Stooges, MC5, you know, they all wrote songs. And they were great songwriters. So that became what I considered the job, was learning how to write songs. But when I was trying to learn to play, he would lay on the couch and drink beer, if I bought the beer. And he would go D, A, G, G minor. And then don't look down. Don't look at the neck. You can't stand on stage and look at the neck while you're playing. You have to look at the audience. And it was just lesson after lesson and just hammered into me. But, I mean, I loved his guitar playing so much. And he was one of those guys who we called him the man of a million chords. Like, to get from A to D, he'd play like six chords in between. They're called passing chords. Where he'd be adding a note with a finger and then changing it and adding another note. And it just flowed. So, I mean, that's probably the most important thing I learned from him.
How did you discover your fellow Modernettes, bass player Mary Bethlehem Wisher and John Jughead McAdams?
Mary, I knew from the very early punk rock scene in Vancouver. Everybody called her Pebbles because she had her hair like tied up in one of those weird pigtails that's on the top of her head. You know, just the one thing, it kind of sprouts like asparagus. And she wore a leopard print, almost like a caveman dress. But we didn't have a bass player. And then we got offered our first show. Somebody had a cardboard cutout of Sid Vicious they stole from a record store. And I said, we'll just put Sid on stage and we'll just have two guitars and drums. And somebody, a friend of mine, heard this and said, that's stupid. You can't do that. It'll sound terrible. You need a bass player. You should get Mary. And I said, who's Mary? Says, you know, Pebbles. And I went, oh, well, her and I don't like each other so much. He talked me into it. She came over, learned the songs pretty quick. And I thought, yeah. Well, if it doesn't work, it's only one gig, right? Next thing I knew, it was 6 years later and we were married. I found Jughead through a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. He cut tape at CBC.
I want to ask you about the Modernette song, Barbara. How did you come up with that?
The drummer in the Pointed Sticks lived downstairs from me in a house that had been turned into two apartments. And I'd known him from my first band in Vancouver. We were friends. And I was downstairs with him drinking. He was drinking beer and I had a bottle of tequila. And he was on a Jan and Dean kick. He had a double LP of Jan and Dean's greatest hits. And he played it. He turned it over, played the other side. Then he got the second LP and played both sides of that. And then he went back to the first one and put it on again. Like he was just going to play them over and over. And I said, oh, come on, Robert, please, could we have a break from Jan and Dean? And he said, when you write something as good as Dead Man's Curve, then you can tell me to take Jan and Dean off the record player. And I was about halfway through the tequila and I went, fine then, I'll go and do just that. And I took my tequila and went upstairs and plugged my guitar in to my little amp and wrote this song. I don't know where it came from. I wrote it in about as long as it takes to play it. And I was so drunk that I misspelled Barbara, and that's why it's B-A-R-B-R-A. But there's a new little girl in my home class. You know I'm talking about Barbara. Everybody thinks you're not such a gas. B-A-R-B-R-A, Barbara. She's the girl I love forever. You know I'm talking about Barbara.
You were not happy about Barbara becoming the Modernettes' most popular song. Why?
I think it's like a lot of people, you know. The comedian wants to play Hamlet. The skinny guy wishes he had better hair, and the fat guy wishes he was skinny, and everybody wants to be what they're not. I wrote what's proved itself to be a pretty, pretty good pop rock song. But I wanted to write great art. You know, I wanted to write Sweet Jane. I wanted to write Marquee Moon. I was aiming for the stars, you know, and like, 2 or 3 years earlier, I would have been very happy to have been able to write, a bubblegum pop song that people liked. I would have been happy to write anything because the stuff I started writing when I began was just terrible. I kind of felt like it was the least of anything I'd done. It was the most unimpressive and just kind of like, oh, it's just a silly little song. I was, pretentious.
What Modernette song are you most proud of?
One that never got recorded and released called Tears Will Fall, which came out of Randy Carpenter's and myself. Randy was the other guitar player in the second version of the Modernettes. We were both enamored of Graham Parsons. And so it was kind of a country-influenced ballad. And I was just really proud of the construction of it. Lyrically, I thought it was really good. But the band broke up before we recorded it. I'm proud of Rebel Kind.
They call us the Rebel Kind, but they don't understand the things a man must do to prove that he's a man. It's not easy, but I don't mind. I just want to run with the Rebel Kind.
I was told somewhere that it was in the mix for the next Johnny Cash album of covers that Rick Rubin was putting together.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been, you know, like Johnny Cash singing my song. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah,
know?
Of course.
Still, the fact that it was even in the mix, you know, that it was even on the list is a pretty huge compliment.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask you if you can identify one especially hellish gig that the Modernettes did, one where things went awry.
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
I do remember one in Berkeley. This is just about being humbled a little bit. We got to this club, and it was a really nice place. It was beautifully decorated and all these beautifully upholstered booths and tables and a big dance floor, and it had a stage with an automatic curtain and like a proscenium arch type stage. And we got there and they asked us what we wanted off the menu to eat and, you know, just order whatever drinks you like. You know, we're so happy to have you here, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is great. And we're backstage and eating and drinking and just going, yeah, we've arrived. You know, this is it. You know, we're on the rocket to stardom. And the guy says, okay, so 5 minutes. So just get ready and go out on stage and I'll play something off the record and I'll fade it out. I'll introduce you and you start playing and the curtain will open. And I went, whoa, ho, yeah, I like the sound of this. So he introduces us and the curtain starts to open and we hit it. And I turn around from where I counted in the song to Jughead. I turn around to the mic and look, and there is absolutely no one there.
Oh, dear.
The place is empty. I mean, like not even a mouse. There's a couple of waitresses leaning against the bar because there was no one to give them any orders. And they're just standing there smoking. Then I finish the first song and go, thank you very much. What a great audience. You know? It was so funny. We just kind of said, oh, okay, screw it. And we got them to hand up a couple of chairs and Mary and I sat down and we just played a bunch of, you know, whatever came to mind. And I played for about an hour in this. Okay, thanks a lot. See you next time.
It's been 43 years since the Modernettes began. Why do you think we're still talking about your band?
I wish I had a good answer for that. Except one that's, you know, sounds kind of egotistical. You're not supposed to say this kind of thing, but then we're a really good band.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote really good songs. And Art was right, you know. The songs survive.
John Armstrong is the author of Guilty of Everything, 21st Anniversary Edition, which Bob Odenkirk and I both highly recommend. Find out more at wpr.org/beta.